Welcome to the Country Bumpkin List Podcast.
Welcome to the hoedown, you redneck fucks.
That's going to have to be the intro now.
This is, of course, the Bangers List Podcast, but we've been led astray this week somehow. And obviously we beg forgiveness from...
It's safer to ask for forgiveness than permission, right?
True, true. We've been led astray from the path that, you know, Iron Maiden set down at the start, which the podcast has been following in its long, illustrious career. And now, straying from that path, guys, today, for some reason, we're looking at a completely different song, very off-topic, off-brand. But, of course, we go into this with open minds, open hearts, but we're not replacing our true love, which is metal. And we're just trying to, you know, expand our horizons, guys. So what's happening today?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that we're here with 12 eyes and one head of hair. So that's pretty impressive, eh?
12?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we've got four each.
Yeah.
Great observation, mate. Right. Yep.
Anyway. And a picture? I just thought of that then. I was like, look at us.
Green with four eyes. Yeah. No one knows what any of us look like. Yeah. Daniel and I have got no hair. We've got big round heads. And Joel's got semi-curly hair and he's got himself a fade. So we look like Bunsen and he looks like Beaker. So you can expect to hear Joel just squeaking for the rest of the episode. I said that joke off air and he got really upset. So I think this is going to be my last stint on the podcast.
But look, in all seriousness, I think the reason why we're doing this, we kind of said it in passing when we're preparing for our last episode and half jokingly said, oh, we should do that on the podcast. And then here we are doing it because we just all... I think we all just love this song. Julian introduced it to me. I believe he introduced it to you as well, Joel.
This one's called Nose on the Grindstone by Tyler Childers, and we'll jump into a sample here.
Daddy worked like a mule mining Pike County coal. He fucked up his back, couldn't work anymore. He said, one of these days, you'll get out of these hills. Keep your nose on the grindstone.
Yeah, right. So as you can see from that, it's definitely not a metal song. It's not metal in any capacity. We're going full-blown country this week on the Bangers List. We're going to try and avoid all of the low-hanging fruit as far as country gags are concerned, but... That one, I think I heard that about, what year did the pandemic start?
2019.
That 2020.
2020?
Yeah, I heard, like, it was probably February, March of that year. My girlfriend at the time, my wife now, were in the kitchen cooking. We were actually making handmade pasta because we were locked inside. We had nothing to do. So we bought all the ingredient, all the doings for making hand-rolled pasta, like a big manual roller and stuff on Amazon. Fucking, you can get anything on Amazon. It's great. Shout out to Amazon. And we had like the little Google Home just playing sort of random music. And it put this song's part of like a 3-track EP that he did. This is actually the only recorded version of this song that's not like a live recording. But I think this is a live take as well.
Yeah, it is.
Going on what I sort of researched. Like, anyway, we were listening to it and we were sitting there and I looked at my wife at one point and I went, this sounds like a fucking Sons of Anarchy, like, soundtrack. Do you know what I mean? Like, Sons of Anarchy, like, a lot, like at the end of an episode, they'll have, like, all the characters are, like, sitting around brooding and just looking generally fucked and someone's, like, getting raped in jail and there's, like, you know, someone murdering someone and then Jax is, like, you know, banging a hooker or something like that. So it was all had that very kind of Katie Sagal-esque kind of theme. And what really captured me with this song was that opening line that we just heard in the sample because... You know, you hear a singer every now and then, you go, fuck me, they've got some punch and some like wow factor in their voice. That was what sort of caught me for that one. And then since then, I've just been saying to people, hey, do you like this? And they're like, why are you in my house?
Yeah, it is raw and unbridled emotion in this song, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's how I wanted to describe it. So,
I guess usually we talk about metal songs and the screams and the passion you can get from a scream. And for me, I was like, you can't get that much passion into a vocal kind of performance without screaming. And then, of course, I hear this.
Yeah, without giving it your absolutely everything.
Yeah, it also shows how ignorant I am, but there's so much passion and power in how he sings in this song. It's it was a good experience, and I do appreciate you for sharing it with us, however off-brand it was. What do you reckon, Daniel? Big fella?
Well, just to touch on that point you just made about being able to convey passion in your singing, and I think it is largely his voice, yes, and the tone that he's able to capture. But on top of that, it's the fact that it's just raw guitar, just raw acoustic guitar that's played with it. It's so pure, and I think it just allows his voice to shine through so much more. And he's playing like that D minor chord over and over again, and it's just like it's really dark. He's obviously singing from quite a deep, dark place.
Yeah.
It feels, or writing and trying to, you know, he's trying to convey that when he's singing, right? And it comes across with a lot of passion as a result.
So. Lyrically and as far as his like emphasis is concerned, he's putting as much effort into it as possible, sort of on all fronts.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those voices too. You don't hear them very often. Again, like a super easy example is like Corey Taylor.
Yeah,
you know, he's one of those one in a million kind of voices. Like there's plenty of people that can scream really well, and plenty of people that can do this and that. Jacob Charlton from Thornhill is another one. Very sort of like that. Very sort of unique. Like they're singing and they're in tune and stuff like that. But they're sort of their own kind of bubble of singing as well, that no one else really sings like them. I don't know. This could be more common in country.
Is this subjective?
Yeah, this is subjective, I think. Yeah, but I don't listen to a lot of country, but I think, you know, you don't hear singers like that too often.
Yeah, I'll pay that.
Yeah.
And look, this song, as you said, Daniel, it's in that really sad D minor kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, it's a very sad chord, but it's a beautiful chord.
It's a beautiful chord. The thing about the rest of the song, like he plays an F and a C. I don't know, this is riveting content for the listeners, talking about chords.
The listeners.
Like, what are all these fucking letters?
And then in the chorus, he adventures into a G, Daniel. So for the whole song, he plays a grand total of four chords. And however, with all that in mind, we're still super impressed, and there's so much in this song somehow with so little use of chords. And in the average metal song we kind of review, there'd be probably often more than four chords, and then there's like lead parts and there's all sorts of shit going on and movements through all the different sections and bridges. And this is just seems like, yeah, I'm just going to play four chords over and over and over, and masterpiece. How's that happen?
Oh, well, look, music makes you feel a certain way, and it doesn't matter how busy the music is. It doesn't need to be busy for you to, you know, to for you to, you know, perceive it as a masterpiece. And in this case, I think we all agree that this is, you know, one of those songs that we all agree is just a masterpiece. It's just beautiful, and it just kind of touches you. It touches you, and I think it's, you know, it's down to the writing at the end of the day. It's the songwriting itself, and it's how the lyrics touch you. And in this case, we can actually fucking understand every single word of the song. Whereas when we're listening to most of our metal songs, we're like, "What the fuck did you just say?" And then we'll look up the lyrics, and then we'll be like, "Oh yeah, I can like get half those lyrics now." But
I think I've said this before. The longer you're listening to a Unclean singer, or like, you know, like metal band or whatever, you're right there. Joel's just staring at the ceiling.
We do the podcast in what could also be known as a microwave oven. I was looking at the vent to see if I could seal it off, because we get in here and we get sweaty, get excited,
someone's turned the air conditioning on.
At full ball.
Yeah,
sorry, take away.
It's about to be 12 eyes, one set of hair, and zero shirt.
Yeah,
as is the country way.
One head of hair, zero shirt. Possibly, I should have come dressed in maybe a set of overalls, like a set of coveralls for this. Like, you know, just the ones with the straps, like the half cover ones. Oh, yeah. Maybe some like some waders or something.
Straw hat.
And like a straw hat, yeah, like a big trucker hat. With like have a bit of straw in my mouth and stuff like that. Where the fuck were we?
We're talking about the lyrics.
Yeah, do you want me to save you?
Yeah, go on.
So then you mentioned like the lyrics, and we can talk about the lyrics because we can understand them. However,
you rolled your pants up. You are feeling
hot, mate. I'm feeling the pain, the heat.
Yeah, go on.
I'm a weak Canberra boy. So this song is obviously about a lesson his father instilled in him to be disciplined, persistent, and grind yourself to death on the wheel of capitalism. Right? Is that what you guys kind of gathered from the lyrics as well?
I wouldn't say grind yourself on the wheel of capitalism, but that older style kind of, just got to go out on a limb, that older style way of thinking of like honesty, hard work, integrity.
Yeah, perfect. Know,
godliness.
Yeah, okay.
Basically like old America. Like I think he's from Kentucky. I know he's from somewhere, from fucking I was going to say where Knock Loose is from. I'm pretty sure he's from somewhere near the Appalachians because I've heard him refer to himself as a hill jack that snuck in from the Appalachians or something like that.
And that's something that a little bit of pre-episode research could have really nutted out. But yeah, let's go with that.
It's better to have like a four-star.
It's in the first line where he says, you know, daddy worked like a mule mining Pike County
coal. That's where he's from, Pike County.
And that is literally what happened to his dad. Like, this is, as you said, mate, it's from a deep, dark place. It's the truth that his dad worked himself near to death because... Mm-hmm.
Lawrence County in Kentucky. I knew he was from Kentucky.
There you go.
Sorry, continue. His father worked in the coal industry and his mother was a nurse. So there you go.
There you go, the American dream.
That's the American dream. That's sort of the working class of, you know, 30, 40 years ago sort of thing. You know, nowadays, you want to be a nurse, you got to get paid fuck all and have... 40 grand worth of hex debt. So, hell yeah, middle class. Let's go.
It's weird. We start talking about country music, then the podcast gets all political. Fucking weird, that. Look, I'll let you talk about the lyrics in the song, Daniel. Any of them that ring true to you?
Well, look, where do I begin?
It's every line, isn't it?
Like, it starts off very strong. I think, yeah, like that opening line is super impactful.
Oh, and before you go on any further, we said about the emotion that he brings in his voice. Yes. What's with the almost testy pop he has? That's obviously deliberate. How does he do that? What's that about?
That's what I'm saying. Which part are you referring to?
It's
specific.
I can't do it, but it's like he literally almost has.
Is it in the first line, that opening line?
Yeah, it is.
Daddy worked like a mule mining. I think it's just sitting at a certain part of his voice where it kind of gets to what you call your break in your voice.
Yeah,
I've spoken to you about this before. So it's that, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast a while back, but you go between like a chest voice and your head voice. Head voice being your falsetto and the higher pitched notes. Your chest voice, you know, basically takes responsibility for your core notes and the more powerful notes. But you can, if you train them both up really well, they can overlap a little bit.
Yeah. And the transition between your
head voice and your chest voice, or vice versa, is much more kind of accomplished. But that bit in between is often called the break in your voice. And that's what a testy pop is, when your voice breaks. It's literally getting like that break in your voice. But if you train it really well, you can kind of manipulate it to use it as a technique. Yeah.
So that must be what he's doing. It's a manipulated technique to like really hit that break where the note seems like it's about to break, or it has, or it's like wavering there, but it's deliberate.
Fracturing, but it's like a permanent state of fracturing. Yeah.
It's funny. That's right. Just before you talk about lyrics, mate, years and years ago, I read a book, I think it was actually Holes, and it says something about someone's voice was like a beautiful diamond about to crack. And then at school, I said to some girl when she was, must have been talking or singing, I was like, oh, your voice is like a diamond about to crack, trying to like hit on her. And she's just like, what the fuck? Thanks, Holes. So anyway.
Do you mean Holes? It was like the Shia LaBeouf film?
No, Holes is like the... where they dug holes.
That's the film.
Is it really?
Is it like a, yeah, like, is it,
I read the book though.
I'm pretty sure it's like a youth detention thing, and they fucking just dig holes.
Just ripping all day.
Looking for yourself a later in life back problem.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying before about it. Like, it's his unique sort of style of voice.
Yeah.
It's like, I sound like I smoked durries for basically my whole life, right? He sort of sounds like that as well, except he can carry a tune. So it's weird, you know what I mean? He's got like that really gruff, like other songs he actually is a lot more sort of melodic, I guess, but this one he's just banging it out in that really gruff voice. Mm. But it just you know, not everyone can do it. It's just you're a special kind of person. It just sounds fucking really nice.
When you wake up from a day on the piss and you've pumped heaps of ciggies, that's the voice you get. Is that what you're saying? On Brave for Country, eh? Yeah. And mate, Daniel,
that's all right. Just to touch on that break in his voice.
Yeah.
And I think this is another reason it's another like layer or another little element as to why this song is so good. And it's just little things like that. Like, it's not a complicated song by any means, but it's little things like that that make you feel certain ways, and it feels very real. And that break in his voice almost kind of makes it sound like he's struggling, right? And that's what the song is. It's the constant struggle of life.
Dude, that is such a good point. So it's like the dynamic of the vocals. Mm-hmm. Wow. That just made it even better to me. He's trying to sound like he's struggling to sing because the song is about struggling.
Oh, well, I saw a comment somewhere that I thought was really fucking lame, but I think it's appropriate. It's almost like the songs cause him pain, but he wants to share that pain and that suffering. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the sort of medium that he can, you know, do that in. So, you know, it's
by share that pain and suffering, you mean share with others what he'd like, yeah, talk to people, yeah, about, yeah, what he's going through.
Yeah, exactly, or, right. Yeah. Like just the, you know, because we base this, we assume that this song's based on his life experiences. So working around that, even if it wasn't, you know, that was, it would still be a great song. Like, you don't necessarily have to have been through a struggle to write a really good song about struggle.
Yeah. But it sure, it does just kind of
fucking
help.
Helps. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. The tortured artist.
I took the words right out of your mouth, mate. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And so cute. It's like we finish each other's sandwiches.
And we all struggle at one point in, correct, our lives, or, yep, several points in our life. We've all been there where, you know, we've had our nose to the grindstone. We're just slaving away, doing the absolute best we fucking can, and we feel like we're getting nowhere. And
well, that's part of it too. It's, yeah, not, it's not just, you know, sit up, fly straight. It's when that gets old and when it gets really boring, you've just got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just got to keep pushing on.
Yeah, you just got to keep weathering the storm and all that shit.
Joel's just stood up to get his water and he's come over and spoke to him. Mate, that'll be $2, mate. $2 a syllable. Right, for the 14th time, what was there a line? You said the first one that really grabbed you.
No, I was talking about the first line.
So that's what I mean. Yeah,
that was absolutely, yeah, really fantastic. Obviously, this one, does get you. Look, it all really gets me. I'm trying to think. Maybe
towards the end.
Probably towards the end. I'll give it. Okay. Joel's just handed me the lyrics, and that'll help jog my memory as to what actually.
Can I just jump in before you pick one of the last ones? I would say would you call it the bridge before the last chorus? The keep in mind that a man's just as good at his work, yes, as
that,
his work.
That is what I gave him to look at.
Yeah,
the tone kind of changes there of what he's talking about.
Well, that's sort of where it becomes a cautionary tale as well.
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of saying to, you know, it's like you'd say to a child, you know, button up, fly straight, but understand that there are things that you can set in motion that may not be able to be stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's basically saying, you know, there will be lessons in life, things that will happen in life that are irreversible. Well, so,
what does he mean when he says there is hurt you can cause, time alone cannot heal? Like, what kind of hurt can time not heal?
What?
Trauma?
You know, well, yeah, exactly right. You know that the expression, time heals all wounds?
Yeah, that's what I was assuming.
You always told that as a kid, but I reckon that's bullshit.
He's gone against that here.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And that was sort of, this song was, I thought about that, I heard it, and I was like, yeah, that's not actually a bad point. Like, you know, not having been through like really severe trauma and stuff like that in my life as well. I mean, you don't have to have, you know, lost a limb or fucking been struck by lightning or nearly been murdered by someone or something to say that you've been through some shit in your life. But it's an interesting concept on something that we've just been, it's had, you know, drilled into us from a young age, is, you know, like, time heals all wounds. Well, no, it doesn't necessarily do that, you know. What you could do to someone or something to cause that, I'm not sure, you know, because it's up to the person, I suppose. But that was definitely the one that stuck out for me. Just, yeah, again, with the raw emotion in his voice.
Yeah, I'm loving getting caught in the weeds here on these. Did you want to say anything more about the lyrics there, bro?
No, look, I think we've summed it up. Hey?
I guess we have. I'm sure you could talk about it more, but I think this is such a far cry from what I assume the average country song is, where it's like, you know, trucks, guns.
My girlfriend leaving me.
And that's it. And I think the thing here is, Julian, as well, mate, it's this is obviously a country song. I feel like it's a slippery slope. You know, you hear this guy, then you hear fucking Coulter, and then the next minute you're fucking at a Luke Combs concert getting fucked in the ass, and who knows?
Yeah, look, and it's tough for us to, I guess, talk with any authority on this topic. Not that we're not going to do it anyway, because this is the bangers list and we don't give a fuck. We'll talk about anything and say anything, because
just act like we know what we're talking about. Exactly. And people are just like, agree. Yeah.
What did you say? Talk shit like we're worth a damn.
That's it.
But, you know, like, I guess stereotypes exist for a reason, right? So,
yes.
I've never heard a generic country song and not thought, fuck me, this sounds like every other country song that I've heard. You know what I mean?
And I think that's great that you said that, because I think that is exactly how people feel when they hear Screamo.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And fair enough.
That fucking word upsets me to no end. I've grown up a lot. That will always fucking get my goat. Hey, a lot of people say it now just to try and get a rise out of me. But I don't say anything. I just sit there and I quietly seethe. And I think, you know nothing, you fucking peasant.
Yeah, and that's why we're here doing this episode.
Expand our horizons.
Yeah, and learn from the other angle.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? This was one of those songs where every now and again you hear a song and no matter what you're into, you go, that's a fucking banger. Yeah. Like, that's just an absolute cracker of a song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cracker. You know what I mean? Probably cracker. Like bang.
Cracker, yeah.
Yeah, I'll pay that.
You know, like a ripper.
Do you know any other songs by him that are good?
I do, yes. I know quite a couple.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're going to rip some out.
Quite a couple, yeah. Okay, so this was the Our Vinyl Sessions. That's what it's called. I don't know. It was some like a studio maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
And there were two others on that one. One of them is called White House Road, which was the second track after this one, which he did just acoustic as well. Now, I didn't actually know that White House Road was one of his band songs, because his backing band that plays with him, they're called the Food Stamps Band, I believe.
Is that what he pays them?
Possibly. He's from a pretty fucking poor part of the country. No, there's a bloke with a lap steel, obviously a drummer, maybe another guitarist. I think he's got an electric guitarist
and the banjo, violin, that sort of right? thing.
Yeah, I think they've got a fiddle.
Yeah.
Fiddle, would that be yes. a fi- well, yeah.
Or violin fiddle.
More likely, yeah. The secret to the fiddle is poverty. I believe that's what the band's called. So he has them touring with him. That was a song that he put out with the band, right? Under his name. And it went fucking gangbusters. It's one of his most popular songs, but I'd first heard the acoustic version, and I was just, and I, to this day, I think, basically because it doesn't have the country music behind it, and that real hillbilly kind of like one dude. I don't know. It doesn't sound bad, but again, it's the same thing. There's so much fucking raw emotion in that song as well, because he's just got that voice and he's really just hammering the fucking acoustic guitar. And the other one I would say would be All Urine.
Which was a story about that? I do, yes.
I got married last year and my wife and I had that for one of our signing songs.
Cute, man.
That's great.
We
also had
Wagon Wheel, because I know what the fuck is up.
I like.
We'll touch on that in a minute. But.
Yeah. I like the song Lady May by him. I've been listening to another
banger or cracker.
I've been listening to a few of his songs just in preparation for this podcast. You know, I put them on shuffle and I get to work. And I know you hate that I do that because I don't know the song names and it causes problems like this. I swear in one of the songs, he sings about something like drug dealers finding an indigenous relic, and then one of them kills the other one to sell the relic for drug money.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what song that is, but that's pretty country.
It's Feathered.
Yeah.
It's not Feathered Indians?
No, Feathered Wings? I don't know.
He's got a song with Feathered something in it.
Feathered Indians, yeah.
Is it Feathered Indians?
Yeah. I think that's his most streamed song.
I just guessed that because it has the word Indians in it, which I'm assuming is like Native Americans.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's got... Yeah. Anyways, an interesting kind of point for a song. I'm like, did you go through this? Were you the character in this? Because someone like died. I'm not saying that he killed someone. I'm pretty sure it's about other people, but I was at work, people come talking at me, making sound. I only got part of it. I should like paying attention, but I was like, I'll bring that up in the podcast.
A bit like that.
Here we are.
Spanner you work with walking up to you, be like, mate, is the sun out?
There's some really like, he touches some really tough topics.
When you think about topics, it, like, you say that, and I had this realization a while back, but for some people, they might hear a song like that and they sort of, it occurs to them that country music isn't just about like, you know, driving trucks, drinking whiskey or fucking, you know, and cowboys. Having your girlfriend break up with you, or cowboys and stuff like that. Yeah. There's also a really, really strong element of things like, you know, growing up in poverty, you know, dealing with hard times, stuff like that. Both of you are looking at your phones right now.
Yep.
I feel like I'm talking to foreheads.
No, I just had to search your name. I was like, what's the fucking song called?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? There's this whole like other side to, I guess the element of country music or that style of music writing where you do, because I was listening to one from him on the way over and it's sort of said in the tone of like a, you know, a man that's trying to raise his family and he's looking for work and he's got nothing, you know, all he can do is work in a coal mine, and that could be written about his father or could be written about someone in the 1800s. And there's that whole sort of other side of it, specifically sort of intrinsic to America. I sort of just used a tautology there, but anyway, like that whole sort of gold rush era, like, you know, a lot of depression era, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, it makes for good music.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one likes to hear a song about, oh, I was fucking really happy today. Or what? Unless you're watching The Wiggles.
Well, actually, didn't Pharrell have a song about being happy?
Huh? No. Right. That song, I fucking hate that song. That song is literally, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands for grown-ups. That's literally all that fucking song is.
And it works.
Yeah, I know. And look how much fucking money he made off it.
Yeah, bullshit. I'm very jealous. I mean, I could have done
that. Well done. The Wiggles would be like, good try.
Do you want to touch on... maybe how he's changed and if there was any drug issues
there,
and how
about him,
went
we?
From being like, he looked normal to like Nigel Thornberry spec and then went back to normal. What happened there? Is there a period of...
So it's my understanding that he sort of, he was working sort of like for like door-to-door deals and like traveling around with his guitar and just getting, you know, gigs wherever he could and stuff like that.
Just playing as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when you're a one-man band, you've only got to you have to go and generate your own work. Mm. Not that you don't, he's in a band, but you've got no one else to rely on. Like, you've got to have the drive. So I've seen a couple of interviews with him where he was sort of saying that he was just sort of working anywhere and everywhere he could. He'd play for this, he'd play for that, he'd play for drinks, stuff like that. And then I think out of nowhere, he sort of just fucking blew up. Like, he released an album, the name of which escapes me. And then he started getting really popular. And obviously with that came, you know, fame. And I think he got into a drug and alcohol sort of abuse cycle. Not too specific on the details, but I know that when around the time he released A Long Violent History, which was a sort of politically charged record, he checked himself into rehab or got sober, and he's sort of come out since then and said that he had I had a problem with drugs, I had a problem with alcohol, it affected me, this and that, and since then he's been sort of on the straight and narrow, but still, I guess, producing music that is both relatable and like doesn't alienate people from his original fan base, I would assume.
Yeah.
So
that sucks. Fuck, it must be hard.
Yeah.
Like to just go into those old ways.
He's not that old either. I think he's only about our age, maybe a little bit younger.
40.
Is he 40?
No, he's the same. He's 32.
Damn.
And his birthday about a month literally. Ago.
Because when you look at photos of him and you're like, fuck, he's so much younger than us. Then another photo, you're like, fuck, he's so much older than us.
Yeah. He looks pretty prim and proper these days.
That's good.
Way back when he had the long hair, he looked real scruffy. And
Well, shout out Tyler Childers. I'm really proud of you, bro.
There's actually a video of him doing this live at some fucked country music awards thing. And he's wearing, he's wearing the Colonel Sanders suit. But that's actually not, like, it wasn't popular over Colonel Sanders. It's called a Kentucky Colonel suit.
Oh.
It's actually a legitimate piece of Kentucky fashion that's just been bastardized by the whole Colonel Sanders thing. By the
Fried Chicken Company,
yeah. Yeah, exactly right, because he wasn't a colonel either. He was an honorary colonel or some bullshit like that. But that's actually called a Kentucky Colonel suit, I believe.
That's standard attire to wear around the town there.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, I don't know if they'd go with that one still, but it would not be out of place to see someone wear that to maybe a wedding or a social event or something. I don't fucking know.
This is a wildly educational podcast. Everyone can be, right?
Also, just got to quickly touch in Colin, who we haven't heard from in quite some time. I texted him before I came over here and I said, we're about to do an episode on a song in 3/4. And he wrote back and he said, it's a scary world beyond 4/4, which brings me to my next point. This song is actually written in 3/4.
And how long did you try to learn it while counting in 4/4? For me, it was like 2 weeks. Why can't I fucking play this?
I wasn't counting because I'm shit at guitar. Just trying to actually get form the chords, and make sure that the guitar I was using was actually in tune.
Yep.
But not that I think it would have helped me drastically. But now that I know that, I think that would have helped me quite a lot, because it's what did you say 3/4 is commonly used for? Like, what style of? It was a dancing style, wasn't it?
Waltz. A waltz. Waltzing. Yeah. So a waltz is counted in threes, and for those who are wondering what the fuck we're talking about. So when we talk about 3/4, we're talking about counting a song in beats of groups of three instead of four. Because traditionally you'll be
a 4-beat bar.
Yeah. So you'll be counting in 3 beats in a bar basically. So this song 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2 that will keep that pulse going for the entirety of the song. And so Julian saying that he didn't know how the fuck to play it because he was counting in fours instead of in really.
Well, I'm guessing you weren't even counting.
You're just trying to feel it out. But
had I, because the strumming pattern was what was fucking me. And I'm not an efficient guitarist or a good guitarist by any stretch. But when I was really trying to learn it, if I'd realized just that counting in your head like that 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, if I'd just done that over and over and over, it would have helped me figure out when to pluck that. Because it all records. It all revolves around that open. That is it. The top string or the second string.
It's the D, the open D, and the hammer on
the fourth string. Yeah,
people don't want to hear this fucking dribbly shit. But keep going. It's good for me.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing fuck me, I cannot talk today. Revolves around hitting that string at pace for someone that doesn't know how to.
No, you're accenting it, so you're emphasizing that string,
And the hammer-ons kind of fuck me as well, but I walk in here and Joel's just playing it without anybody.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, Daniel picked it up. He probably played it by ear, but Daniel can play it. No dramas. Was it hard for you? Did you know it was in 3/4 straight away, or were you just
filtered
out?
Well, look, I didn't really think about it, but I think because I've played so many songs that are in both time signatures, whether it be 3-4, 4-4, whatever, 3-4 and 4-4 are both pretty common.
But you would have just gone, I picked it up.
Yeah. And it's and not just that, it's played with a swing as well.
That's the thing.
So
yeah.
The beat, and this is used commonly in country music, and you'll see it used in metal music as well, just maybe not as frequently. I could probably name some metal songs that do incorporate a 3-4 time or like a swing. But
in not Spiders.
Sorry?
Not Spiders. Mm.
What did we say that was? 7-4?
Spiders are 7-8.
7-8? Yeah. Okay.
Colin got into me about that. I felt like a pelican. Joel's having a coughing fit.
Yeah.
Too many durries, mate.
COVID?
I've been trying to sing like Tyler Childers and it's hurt my throat. Or did
haven't got that break in your voice sorted out, have you?
No, I still have Tessie Pops.
Too many durries, mate. Yeah. You know, it's been a week and a half. In a week and a half, I've been on for durries for 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
Well, mate, congrats, mate.
A little bit of history. Joel basically lived with me for like 3 years and he gaslit me the whole time. And then I quit smoking. As a result, it was fantastic.
That was before gaslighting was meta and it was actually like a really good tactic to use on
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah. That was before like all the Gen Z basically took it over and it became the new anxiety and depression.
Oh, shit, mate. That's funny.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we talking about?
You're talking about the swing. How's the swing? What's a swing?
So I like to, in country music, I like to call it a hillbilly swing. Because I don't know, it makes it really catchy in that stupid hillbilly way.
Yeah, I get you.
But in this case, because it's used with that dark D minor chord that we talked about, which makes it like a very depressing sounding song. I don't know. You add that catchiness with how dark the song actually is lyrically and musically. It makes for a masterpiece.
Isn't it funny how? Yeah, isn't it funny how we know all these metal and like band driven songs that are so like all the instruments form a synergy and make these like really dark and fucking grossly encapturing songs. And then one guy with an acoustic guitar comes along and just decimates in that field with, you know, the same, like less effort, I suppose. Mm, yeah. Four chords.
Yep.
But just absolutely dominates with some, you know, lyrics that are like relatable and four chords and just absolutely smashes it.
And it's funny, even still, I guess the thing to highlight here is though I consider Daniel quite advanced at guitar and I would have said to people like, you know, if you want to learn guitar and a song that's quite easy, you could just learn this one. You know, you could try and learn Nose on the Grindstone. It's only four chords, but it's actually got some tricky elements in there, like the swing pattern, the 3-4, the hammer-ons and the pulls, and the dynamics of hitting that open D.
Going on. And you know, as a guitarist that's got quite a lot of experience under their belt, you'd probably pick it up pretty quickly. But if you're trying to do it from the get-go, like you've got to learn to play a bar chord, for instance, that F chord, and then you've got to learn to play with the swing, the hammer-ons. And the accenting, like it's playing with a certain feel, like the accenting is putting emphasis on certain notes.
And then you want
to
try
to do that is you got to hit the strings with certain amount of tension, and you got to learn how to control how hard you hit the strings, and then Tyler Childers does a fantastic job.
There's a lot of finesse there.
Yeah, there's a lot of finesse. It's a good way of describing it. There's a lot of finesse utilized in this song, and it's all those little bits of finesse that make it so great. I feel. In terms of the music anyway.
Yeah. After I listened to this and, you know, I did the shuffle, and sometimes when I finish shuffling or I start a song or I shuffle, it goes into like a different artist. And so I went down the rabbit hole there a bit. I don't know if you guys listen to other artists, but did you guys hear anything from Colter Wall or Jelly Roll?
Oh, Jelly Roll, yeah.
I've heard of him.
And Colt, like these guys have very rich, powerful voices and sing about sad things too. Yep. So I think there's like, this is another whole side to country, I think.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a huge fan of country.
Mellow
I'm not,
country.
I'm not crossing over. I'm not transitioning. Yeah. I just think there's a couple of other really good voices.
I
know.
I connect with it a bit more. Like, I don't really hear your typical pop country or whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
So this is like a 3.5 star. Sorry, just not to cut you off, but on that topic. It's like a 3.5, 4 star. Childers himself actually got a little bit of controversy. I think he upset a few people a few years ago. I think he was at some kind of awards ceremony and off camera he made a comment about Americana, which, you know, we can look it up, but why not just talk shit like we know what we're talking about instead? It's my understanding that Americana is like the poppier side of country music. Like the more, I guess country has, especially in America, has a sort of like mainstream component.
Like Keith Urban, even though he's Australian.
That kind of shit. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what it was. And he basically came out and said, this is dog shit. It's not country. It's ruining country music. And fuck you.
He sounds like a purist. Like, so sounds do you mean like country's, you know, about I mean, that country life often is a struggle, like, you know,
yeah,
farms and everything. Like,
so pop country. Is it people that get popular or people that sing about things that are, well,
I think it's, you
shit?
Know, if you incorporate pop music with country.
It's like the...
Think fucking yeah. Taylor Swift, like early Taylor Swift. Like,
yes, speaking of Taylor Swift, boys, you get tickets? Fucking hell. Oh, what drama? And how much were they? $400?
No,
Jesus.
Thanks.
No, Jesus. Wasn't that a fucking schmozzle?
Yeah.
Farce. It was farcical. Okay, Americana, as defined by the American Music Association, in brackets AMA, for those playing at home, is contemporary music that incorporates elements of various American roots music styles, including country, roots rock, folk, bluegrass, R&B and blues, rhythm and blues and blues.
Rhythm and blues and blues.
Well, they haven't put they haven't put an Oxford comma between R&B and the word and there, so it sounds like they're saying R&B and blues, which is rhythm and blues and blues.
Well, they're very different things.
Fucking fact-checking Wikipedia here. It's kind of ironic fact-checking Wikipedia, isn't it?
Ironic, yeah.
Yeah.
In our context, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. While acoustic instruments are often present and vital, Americana also uses a full electric band. So going out on hazarding a guess, that sounds like, because it says it uses elements, like popular elements. So that says to me that that's just studio executives looking for the easiest and cheapest way to popularize the basic components of country music.
Or maybe they're getting like a rapper in to do some rap parts.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Just whatever is going to fucking sell at the time.
See, I always thought Americana was Offspring's magnum opus. So we.
Now we're going to go back.
What was on that record?
Lyrics.
All the bangers.
Yeah.
Staring into the sun.
Come out swinging.
No.
Not a banger then. Not a banger record.
Oh, well, my bad.
So you can go sit outside for the rest of the episode. Anyway.
Did that have Changed the World on it? Was that on that?
I think so.
On Americana?
Oh, yeah, that one or Ex-Nay on the Hombre. But anyway, shout out to Offspring, mate. Thank you.
Shout out to the Offspring, yeah.
Yeah.
Notable Americana musicians. Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson. So maybe Lana Del Rey, there you go. So maybe it's not what I thought it was. I don't know. I just know that, I mean, that's a Wikipedia article, so who the fuck cares? But that's what Tyler Childers generated a bit of controversy for criticizing, as far as I'm aware. Tyler, if you're listening, please just hit us back at hashtag at the bangers list on Twitter.
And maybe for him, he's like an underground equivalent of country music.
Yeah.
And metal music is often considered underground, yeah?
Oh, true. Maybe that's why
we kind of gel with this song so much as well.
It's sort of like a rebel feeling.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, is it gatekeeping?
Mm.
Is it being a purist or is it gatekeeping? It's like the analogy, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. You know what I mean? So you look at some people that, you know, like Miss May I, for instance, we touched on this in their episode, was they've basically said, we like doing metalcore this way and we're going to do fucking metalcore this way and we don't fucking care what people think. But like what they started off doing as metalcore and what they sort of still do these days isn't the mainstream of metalcore, I suppose, or the main vein of what it is now.
Yeah.
So would it be gatekeeping to say that that's metalcore, or, you know, would you like, do you get people that gatekeepers? Oh, you absolutely get gatekeepers. Look at fucking prog metal.
Yeah.
Fucking prog metal.
Well, prog metal is just at a higher standard than all the other types of metal, Julian.
Fuck off. Go back to playing your fucking guitar in your bedroom, your neckbeard. You see them at shows. They've always got like long hair and a beanie on. Like, it's the middle of summer and these fuckheads are always still wearing a beanie. They've got long unwashed fucking hair and like a full on neckbeard and like big fucking thick glasses, and they stand at the back wearing like an old Children of Bodom shirt and just grimacing at the band. It's like, cunt, you paid $75 to be here. Get in the mosh and lose a fucking tooth like the rest of us. Or in our case, just get in the mosh and have a bad back the next day.
Yeah.
It takes a lot for a prog metal fan to get out of the house, mate. Why are you saying these things?
Yeah, exactly right. This is what he said. As a man who identifies as a country music singer, I feel Americana ain't no part of nothing. It's a distraction from the issues that we're facing on a bigger level. As country music singers, it kind of feels like purgatory.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so anyway.
So, and he feels like traditional or purist country singers maybe aren't getting the recognition that they deserve.
Yeah.
And he feels like that people are kind of coming along and
well, like
and
I said,
putting their own twist on country, and they're getting fucking,
like I said, there's studio fucking executives everywhere that are like, what's the meta? How do we get as many artists out that are the meta?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. At the same time, though, like, if someone's going to go out and make money doing what you're doing, good on them, I guess. Like, imagine all the people that make fucking heavy metal podcasts and make money. And I'm like, excuse me, this is shit.
Yeah. Our niche fucking style of podcast doesn't make any money. Therefore, you're the problem.
Exactly right. Yeah. Speaking of drama... Mate, I don't know, you reminded me of this. Did you see that All That Remains drummer left the band for some reason?
Yeah.
What's that about? That's news this week.
All That Remains. Yeah, Jason Costa, I think his name is. Look, I think he's left on good terms. I think he's just I think he's a bit older than the rest of the members, and I think he's just calling it a day for now. Like, I don't think he wants to go touring, and like, they haven't toured for a while, haven't produced. I think they're in the midst of writing or producing an album right now, but
yeah.
I think he's just, I don't think he's got the fire in his belly anymore.
Yeah,
I
that's
think.
Fair enough.
Like, he just said, look, I hope to see you. Like, he put a statement out and like, admitted that he's just kind of, I think he's just had enough with playing. He just needs a bit of a break, and he might explore other projects. I think maybe creatively just wants to explore other outlets, perhaps maybe start something different.
Mm.
And you know, playing in a band that's as intense, you know, physically intense to play as a drummer, as All That Remains is, would be quite demanding.
Is that the band that does This Calling?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And
yeah, you'd know.
And he didn't.
What? That's fast.
Yeah, he didn't even.
That's very quick.
He didn't even. Yeah. He wasn't even in the band when, like, they had a different drummer at that particular time. Yeah. Jason's been in the band for the last four or five
albums. Imagine having that on your resume. Be like, yeah, right, you want to play with this cunt? Play this. Get good or you're out.
Yeah, I want to get all that.
But I mean, some drummers look at that and go, yeah, no worries, I can do that in my sleep. But
yeah.
Mother of heel toe.
Jesus yeah, like Christ. Last week we talked about In Flames.
Yeah.
Their newest guitarists, they were like, you know, fucking a month or so out from a show, and they're like, can you learn like 25 songs? Maybe it was the drummer. One of the two, they're like, we've got heaps of songs, and he just fucking nutted them all out and just fucking played live, no drummers.
But if you were good at an instrument and had nothing else to do,
you could rip in.
You could rip in.
Yeah.
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 Like, well, I think that's like a gift. That discipline, you know, nose in the grindstone kind of shit, mate. Like, and then they just play a whole discography after a couple of weeks. Like, fucking jeez.
But I mean, you're also sort of assuming that this person didn't know In Flames up until that point.
Oh, but you'd assume, yeah, they must have. Yeah. Anyway, fucking any other stuff on Tyler Childers or Childers. Music news this week? Or what's happened?
There's another great song by Tyler Childers, and it's of a similar vein to Nose in the Grindstone. Not quite as dark. Still very mellow, that same kind of mellow feeling, and play with the swing as well. And I'll demonstrate. We're going to do something a little bit different here that we haven't done on the bangers list before. Because this is an acoustic song, we've got an acoustic guitar sitting right next to us. I've been waiting for the right moment. I feel like this is it. So we're going to bring it out and just demonstrate. This other song is called Rock, Salt and Nails.
And you're going to play it?
I'll play a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I was just listening out in the car on the way over as well. Yeah.
I'm going to show you what I mean. And they both play with the swing, and I've been talking all this shit about 3/4 about swings and everything, and both these songs incorporate both of those elements. Nose in the Grindstone. Right, it's got that hammer on, it's got that swing to it, a certain feel when you're strumming. I'm gonna take this capo off. Rock, Salt and Nails basically played the exact same way, different key. Different set of chords, but played similarly with those hammer-ons and with that 3/4 time and with the swing to it. Right, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I feel great that we can actually provide an example of what the fuck we're talking about when we're going on with our music gibberish.
Let's do like all acoustic for the foreseeable future.
We'll just patch all the guitars into the. When I'm about to go on holidays for some time, so you guys just patch your guitars in and just spend a whole episode doing fucking acoustic stuff.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, go on, cough.
That was better than last one. Sorry. You'd think he was the one that'd been putting down a pack.
Giles has been working in a coal mine.
Yeah,
how's your back, champion?
Sorry, I had to step away. There was a bit rough week. I don't know what I had. I couldn't check because I've had COVID that I couldn't go to work. So I just didn't test so I could go to work. And then I had days off anyway. So I was like, what's the fucking point? And here I am, you know, this is a tough carry, boys. This is fucking off the kickoff type stuff, doing a podcast on a Friday.
Your Ben Hunt.
MVP stuff. Anyway, what else is Goss Fairy Floss? What's happening?
Some slightly positive news following last week's not so positive news. Polaris said released a statement yesterday saying that they were going to continue with the album release. And they're going to continue with the tour that they're doing.
Yep.
In their statement, they said that it was the last group of songs they wrote with Ryan Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously now makes them those songs all the more special to
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Oh, and they really want to share that with people.
Good.
And like I said, they're always on the money. They're always really tasteful with how they go about it. So I think that was, I mean, look, yeah, that was fantastic news. Not just because I get to see them live, but as a fan, you're like, that's really cool. You guys are going to hopefully like push through this together, and this will bring you closer and just help you cope, you know, help you deal with this fucking horrible shit in your life. So
yeah.
That was really cool to hear. I actually beat everyone else to it for once. My fucking DMs didn't get lit up. I saw it first because I was awake at like 6 a.m.
You started
reason.
Messaging all the people.
Yeah, then I pumped everyone else with the message. Yeah, I was like, fucking, I don't want to hear about it. So, no, that was good. What else? Slipknot. We still don't know what's going on with their... Craig, they reckon they've figured out who's replaced Craig Jones.
Do they?
They reckon it's a bloke called Zach Baird or some shit. I don't know.
I love how they put some, like, they make it this big mystery, but they'll eventually unveil who it is, and it's like, never fucking heard of him.
No. I wouldn't have heard of
even,
Michael.
Even when they announced, like, Jay Weinberg as the new drummer, like...
Who the fuck's Madball?
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're making it as if it's, like, someone, like, super famous.
But he was... The band he was in was pretty popular.
Yeah, but, like, you know...
But, like, who the fuck knows who drummers are? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Because... Yeah. Drummers are just part of the set, mate. They're just part of the stage. Yeah,
everyone just gets a session drummer. They just pop out of the floor. Yeah.
Mm.
My drummer Phil listens to this podcast, so apologies, mate.
Oh, I'm not sorry. I'm a drummer as well.
Oh, and you name them as well. Okay.
I get to throw shade because I'm a drummer too. So
that's fair.
1v1 me, Phil.
What blast else? Beat off?
Pardon?
A blast beat off?
Can Phil blast beat?
I don't think he wants to use double bass.
He
suffers from carpal tunnel, so I don't think he's going to want a blast beat.
Ah, so severe wanking.
Great
problem.
Player though.
Well, shout out Phil.
Shout out Phil. He's going to try and fight me next time. He's going to like, where's that cunt? It looks like Daniel. Everyone that looks like you is just going to roll up on him. What do you say, cunt?
So you look like Daniel. Like Phil, I am Daniel.
Comes into practice. There's the cunt.
Well, thanks for the support, Phil.
Yeah, shout out Phil. Yeah, anything else in music news?
No, look, let's jump back to old mate Tyler Childers. We can do the bangs this week if we want, but additional to the bangs, I think we might do how many Spurs out of two. More of that country vibe, you know, because they have Spurs on their shoes.
Two Spurs on their feet.
So we can
that's not bad from you.
Thanks, mate. Came with it just like then, that. Of course, like everything. So we can do bangs first, and then we'll do Spurs. How many Spurs out of two and how many bangs out of 10? Go ahead.
Oh, fuck. Again, it's the same as the Hang the Mason episode. Not a song that bangs.
No.
I would say how many fucking parole violations out of 10? Yeah. So I'd give it 9 out of 10 parole violations.
Yep.
Yeah, and 3 out of 4 food stamps.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. So no, I'd say probably like a solid 8 for bangs and 2 Spurs.
If it was bangs, you'd give it like 1 bangs because he bangs the shit out of that fucking open D, which I guess isn't even a D because he's got a capo. But then, I'd give it 1 out of 2 Spurs on the side of his shoes there, yeah. What do you reckon?
Well, I think when you're looking at it objectively like that, yes, the bangs, yes, maybe, you know, technically only bangs like 1 or 2 out of 10, but emotionally and subjectively.
Yeah, how many
bangs?
Broken hearts
it bangs.
Out of 10
it bangs
you,
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10 broken
it's
hearts.
It's a great
how
song.
Many, how many my dog passed away and my truck left me out of 10?
Oh.
My truck left me.
My truck left me.
How many trucks have you lost out of 10?
How many broken down trucks on a highway to nowhere out of 10?
How many empty 4X cans out of 11?
Out of 11.
Is that because they're too drunk to count?
It's because it's a baker's dozen.
No, 13's a baker's dozen.
Yeah, well, that's I'm drunk. Fail. I've been having 4X cans.
The fucking the Milton mangoes.
Is that what they... I'm an idiot. I was thinking 4X is what we drink in Queensland, not what they fucking drink in America.
No, you're thinking of just like a generic...
Were you thinking of
like,
Bud Light or something?
Bud Light.
No, yeah. Don't go there. Don't go there.
That's a slipperier slope than fucking ending up at a Luke Combs concert, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the second Luke Combs gag you've made.
Do you want to unpack some trauma, mate? Is there something you tell us about Luke Coombs?
Well, I assume that he... I don't want to say anything because I only hear Luke Coombs every time I get in the car with my girlfriend. Because she's like, oh, fuck, she's Luke Coombs.
He does that Fast Car cover, doesn't he?
I assume he is the Americana Swift. That Tyler Childers is talking about, but I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I assume that's what he means. But then at the same time, maybe Luke Coombs is every country person's hero because he's so successful. But then he might also, who knows, he could be the devil or he could be an angel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's still good to make jokes about him because he's very popular. And as I said, last time I went to a Luke Coombs show, I got fucked in the ass. So let's wrap it up here.
Jesus. All right. There you go.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you very soon.